Welcome to the Hope for the Weary Christian Woman podcast, the go-to podcast for the Christian woman walking through suffering and hard times. I am so glad that you're here. Do you want a relationship with God that's deep, real, and intimate? Do you wish that you could fully trust God's plans and process and rely on Him through all things and believe all of His promises? Well, take a deep breath. I got you. This is a show for the Christian woman who is struggling to trust God fully because life is so stinking hard. And maybe, like me, you felt like there's no hope, no way out, and no point in even praying about it anymore. I want you to know that as long as God is on the throne, it's not time to throw in the towel. You can find strength, peace, and hope in a closer relationship with God when everything in your life seems to be going wrong. How do I know that? Because I've done it. Hey there, I am Latoya Edwards. I am your Christian spiritual growth mindset and life coach and a proud single mom of four boys. And over the last 2 decades, I have walked through more suffering and trials than I could ever tell you. In fact, there was a time when I was sure that God had forgotten all about me. He didn't. I was just weary from all the hard stuff. But I've come through it all with a fearless faith and a close relationship with Him. And if that sounds like something you need too, you are in the right place. I can't wait to help you find renewed faith, a peace-filled mind, and restored hope. Let's get started. This is our training on how to craft and create strategic prayers that are going to help us be really effective when we are facing hard times. So the first thing that we want to understand when it comes to strategically engaging the enemy in prayer is that there is a difference between our regular everyday prayers and waging war against the enemy. Both are important. We need to be spending consistent, regular time talking to God and listening to what He wants to speak to our hearts. And we also need to be able to go to war against the enemy when the attacks come. And so I like to explain this as the difference between the Lord's Prayer and the armor of God. So bear with me. So in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives His disciples and us just a structure for how to pray. So how do we talk to God? And He gives us this formula that we can follow in our everyday conversations with the Lord. When we look into the armor of God, Paul is talking about engaging in spiritual warfare. And when I say strategically engage the enemy or wage war against the enemy through prayer, I am talking about what Paul teaches in the armor of God passage. So let us turn to that passage of scripture right now. So Ephesians 6 is like the playbook for spiritual warfare. Paul is under heavy guard, and he uses this image of a Roman soldier to explain to his audience what it looks like and what it takes to fight the spiritual attacks that are coming for believers. You can find the armor of God passage in Ephesians 6, and it starts in verse 10 and it runs through verse 20. But we are going to focus and zoom in today on verses 14 to 18, because I want to focus on the different pieces of the armor. And it says, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication." So here, Paul outlines for us the 6 pieces of the armor of God. We've got the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of peace, shield, we've got our helmet, and we've got the sword. And all of that is tied together through continual prayer and supplication before the Lord. So here's a distinction that I want to point out to you that you may or may not have noticed. So if you look at these pieces of armor, they're kind of split in two. And the first 3 are things that as believers, we should always have on. And then the other 3 are the items that we pick up when we need them. So we should always be wearing our belt of truth. We should always have on our breastplate of righteousness, right? We should be living righteously. every single day. And we should have on our shoes of peace. We should be, you know, involved in community and fellowship and spreading the gospel message to people that don't know the Lord. These are things as a Christian that we should always be doing. Now, when you go into battle, there are things that you need that you don't necessarily have on you at all times. The same is true for right? It's true, right, in the physical world of soldiers and going to fight. And it's true for us spiritually. We don't always have our shield up, our helmet on, and our sword out because they're big, they're clunky, they're heavy, and they're meant for a specific purpose. This is why, if you notice back in our verse, we get the language of take up, right? Paul says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. And then you're putting on, taking up your helmet and the sword, right? So using the word take there indicates that you don't already have it on. So he's telling us, listen, that there is going to be times when you've got to pick up some extra tools because you are dealing with an attack of the enemy. And so your shield is there. Paul says, you know, the fiery darts of the enemy. And this is just like the attacks, right? The devil attacks us. It's like an enemy shooting these flaming arrows at us, meant to wound us, to stop us, and to take us out. And so the way that you protect yourself from that is by holding up your shield of faith. What do you know and believe about the Lord and what he has promised and what he will do for you as his child? We have to put on our helmet, right? You want to keep your head safe. And this speaks to our identity and our authority in Christ. As children of God, we have access to gifts and strength and access to the Lord that people that do not believe don't have. And we have to remember that and tap into that in times of spiritual warfare. And then we have to pick up our weapon, right? We need our sword, which is scripture. And that's what we're going to use to fight. So we're going to hold up our shield. We're going to protect our head with our helmet, and we're going to have our sword out. And we are ready now to engage the enemy because we are properly dressed and we are ready for war. So practically speaking, what does this look like? So I want to give you 3 steps that you can do when you are trying to be strategic in your prayer strategy when you're facing something really hard, a crisis or an attack of some kind. And so step one is to recognize what the attack actually is. And here's what I mean by that. Sometimes when we are walking through something hard, we think we know what the actual problem is, and we're wrong, right? It's truly something else. If you get deeper to the root, the heart of the matter, it's not what we think it is. I'm going to give you an example. So a while ago, my boys were like at each other's throats. They were constantly arguing, bickering, like physically fighting, hurting each other, unkind words and all of that. And so as a mama, I am watching their behavior and I'm going, oh my goodness, like this is sibling rivalry. They're being unkind. They're not treating each other with love and respect. And I wanted to address this as a mom. I wanted to go in and solve the sibling rivalry. I wanted to fix the arguing. I wanted to talk to them about using their words kindly and all of those things. And in a time of prayer, the Lord actually revealed to me that yes, there were sibling rivalry and unkind words and a lack of respect and all of that going on, but that was just at the surface. And that was not the true attack. What was really going on was that the enemy was trying to drive a wedge between my boys. Right? He was trying to sever the relationship and the love that they have for each other to kind of like separate, like divide and conquer, right? Because then they didn't have that support and that encouragement, and they would be easier to attack individually. So had I not taken the time to seek the Lord and like listen to what he wanted to say, I would have been, and I did for a little while, I was praying the wrong prayer. I was fighting the wrong battle, so to speak. And there's nothing worse than fighting so hard and to be fighting the wrong thing. You wear yourself out. You're going to be like, my prayers don't work and God isn't listening. And it's not at all true. It's just that you missed what the actual attack was. And so we've got to take time to seek God and really understand what the true attack is, because it's not always the first thing that we see, right? If you go all the way back to the beginning of that Ephesians 6 passage, what does Paul tell us? He says that the weapons, right, of warfare are not carnal, right? We are fighting spiritual things in the heavenly realms. And so this is what this talks about. And so in the last section, we were uncovering the lies. We spent some time talking about the enemy and kind of his name, but his character and how he works. This is what we want to pull from that. Use what you learned there and dig even deeper to understand what attacks does he have, right? He used that information to help you learn how he attacks, what he does, and what that looks like for you personally and for your family, because the attacks are often similar, right? Like the actual attack is similar. If they just sometimes they look differently, and we don't want to be deceived and to praying about one thing when truly what's really going on is something else. Okay. So that leads us to step two. Once we have identified or recognized what the actual attack is, this is when we want to dig deep into scripture. Remember, pick up your sword. This is like our weapon. So we need to be immersed in the word of God to find out what he has to say about what is going on in our life, good times and bad, but especially in those hard seasons. We need to know what God says about that thing. If you're having financial, you're in a financial crisis, you need to dig into the word of God to see what does he say about your finances. Are there promises about being a good steward and being faithful to give and serve and pay things on time and being out of debt? Like, what are those principles that you can pull out that apply to what is going on? Because the truth is what sets us free. And the truth is always found in the word of God. So this is the time to go back to Bible boot camp and pull out that training on word studies and topical studies and character studies and those smaller things that you learned, because this is going to help you find what you need from the word of God as you are preparing to strategically engage the enemy. And then the third step is that you need to figure out what weapons you actually need to fight. Now, we've looked at the armor of God passage, and it talks about picking up your sword. That's not the only weapon that we have, right? We don't only fight with the word of God and through prayer. There's so many accounts in scripture of God's people going to battle against their enemies or the enemy, and all kinds of weapons are used. So here are some things that you might have, right? So I can't give you like specifics about what your weapons are, because everybody is different. God has made us each unique and special, and we each have our own special weapons that are specific to us. But there are some things that like we all have. So, you know, worship and praise are weapons of warfare. Don't discount the power of turning on some worship music and singing your heart out to God when you're having a rough day. Giving, serving, meeting, and fellowshipping together with other believers, all of these things are weapons that we have at our disposal when we are in the trenches of spiritual warfare, when we're going through hard things. These are things that we can tap into. So spend some time asking God, you know, what is it that I need to do? How do you want me to fight? And he will reveal that to you. And, you know, when you are reading and studying your Bible and you read an account of somebody that's gone up against the enemy, make note of what weapons they used. What did God tell them to use? What did God give to them to use when they, you know, got that victory? So you can read the story of Esther and learn how prayer and fasting and community were used to, you know, engage an enemy there. You can look at the story of Moses where they're holding up his hands and learn that you need to have other people in your corner. You can read the story of Gideon where they're making noise and all those things, and all of these examples of different ways that God brings about victory for his people. Take note in your personal Bible time and keep that list, because when you are ready to, when you're because they will come handy when you are trying to figure out what weapons you have at your disposal and what God might want you to pick up and use for whatever battle you're facing. So now we know the difference between our everyday prayers and engaging the enemy. We've looked at the armor of God to understand that there are certain things that we're going to have on all the time, and there are certain things that we're going to pick up when we're ready to go to war. And we've learned the three steps to creating this strategic prayer battle plan when we're ready to go fight against the enemy. So now I want you to just take a moment and consider a few things. Here are some things to consider before you engage the enemy that's going to help you be more effective, and it's going to really help you in the long run of the battle. So the first thing that I want each of us to consider is we need to examine our own hearts. And this is what I mean. Sometimes when we are in the battle, we don't hear from God clearly. We make mistakes. Sometimes we're in the mess that we're in because of our own choices, right? And behaviors. And so by taking regular time to examine your heart, you are going to clear out a lot of the ugh that gets in between you and God. Because what you need to have at all times, but especially in moments of crisis, you need to have a direct connection to God. And we don't want sinfulness to get in the way of that. And this is why confession is so important for prayer. When I teach, you know, about prayer and prayer journaling, I always, like, one of the first things that I teach is confession. You want to say to the Lord, create in me a clean heart. Show me what in my life is not lining up with the word of God. Show me what's not pleasing to you. Show me what I need to work on, because he is holy and he cannot tolerate unholiness. And so we want to continually be seeking to be made clean and made pure from anything that's going on in our hearts that are not pleasing and glorifying to God. The other thing that we want to look at is, like, what's getting in our way. So I will use myself as an example. I am a recovering control freak. And so when I would be in a hard thing, I would, like, get to this point. I'm like, Lord, like, what? Like, I just feel like I'm not getting anywhere. What is going on? And he would often reveal to me that it was me, that I was trying to do this and do that and manipulate this and control that and force this. And I was getting in the way, or I was focused on the wrong thing. I would be so focused on my circumstances and other people and things that really were not important that I was missing that I needed to keep my eyes on him. And this is where adoration comes into play. Adoration is just adoring God and keeping our focus on God, who he is and what he does and what that means for us. And this is important because not only does it keep our focus in its proper place, but it's going to help us keep our fears and nervousness and worries at bay. If we are focused on God, if we are looking at him only, we're not going to be distracted by anything else that's going on in our lives or that the enemy is trying to throw at us. Keeping our eyes on God also plays into discernment. We need to be able to rightly discern God's will and plan and purpose. We need to be able to discern the direction that God wants us to go. Nothing is more frustrating and exhausting than fighting a battle that God never intended you to fight. Are we called to armor up and engage with the enemy? Yes, but not all the time. Sometimes there are fights that God's like, listen, this is something that I have to do, and I just need you to sit and rest and let me take care of it. Or we might be trying to fight a battle for somebody else that we have no business being a part of because God wants to work in their lives in some way. So we need to learn to listen to God's voice, listen for his voice, seek him for guidance and direction when we're trying to figure out what to do, where to go, how to pray, what weapons to use, who to invite to pray with us, and all of the things that are going on. Seek him for a direction because it's going to keep you from hitting a lot of obstacles. And then the last thing that I want to share is that we need to make sure that we are incorporating regular gratitude into our prayers. Be thankful. If you can't find anything to be thankful for in the moment, then take some time and think about all the things that God has done for you in the past. Thank and praise Him for those things and let that encourage and reassure you that He is working right now and that He will continue to work in the future, because that is going to help you stay at peace. Remember, peace is not the absence of trouble. It's the assurance and knowing that God is there with you in the middle of the storm. And if you allow your mind to only focus on the bad, only focus on what's right in front of you, we can lose our peace by looking at the storms and the waves and the things that are going on. So as you are strategically engaging the enemy through that prayer plan that you've crafted with lots of prayer and lots of time in scripture and listening to, you know, what God wants you to do, don't forget to be thankful along the way. Okay. So that is everything that I want you to know about strategically engaging the enemy. Now you have everything that you need to craft a strategic and powerful and effective prayer battle plan, no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what tricks the enemy may try to throw at you, you are ready to engage in that spiritual warfare, grounded in truth and bathed in prayer.
I hope you were blessed and encouraged by today's episode. I pray it inspires you to draw closer to God. If so, would you stop and share this episode with someone that you know that's feeling weary right now? It would also be a huge blessing to me if you could leave a 5-star rating and review in your podcast player. This will help women just like you find the show. Thank you so much for joining me today. And remember, sometimes life just plain sucks, but God is always there with you. Rest in that truth and find hope for your weary soul.